Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of my podcast, Edification and Wellbeing, previously called PEN Health Beyond Fitness. In this podcast, I explore the worlds of health and education from a sociocultural, historical, philosophical, psychological, and scientific perspectives, and how these affect how we see, react, and engage in learning and healthy practices. Edification is the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. This concept is also synonym with building up, improvement, and development. Well-being is the state of being comfortable, healthy, or happy, and it is also defined as a good, satisfactory condition of existence. I am your host, Juan Baez, or JB for short. I possess a bachelor's in physical education, a double MBA in global business management and international marketing, and various certifications in exercise and fitness training. I have an insatiable fascination for human health, behavior, and learning. I have been working in the education and health fields for over 16 years, having worked at schools, gyms, fitness studios, physical and occupational therapy clinics, fitness and health-related equipment and product companies, as well as a freelance personal trainer and exercise coach. Over the years, I have worked with students, rehabilitation patients, elders, workers, athletes of all ages and different sports, along other health, education, business, and other professionals, and with people from all walks of life. Based on my experience, I have come to the conclusion that our education and health are missing something. Join me, and let's explore together these topics as they evolve. Let's go back to the past and learn about their origins. Let's talk about them and see how we can implement old practices and new ideas and methods in order to find more efficient and intuitive ways to learn and live healthy. All right. Hello, everybody. Coach Juan here with another episode of podcast Edification and Wellbeing. Happy 2019. And thank you for listening. Reviving here the YouTube channel. So you have this podcast now in audio and video. I got a hold of a new webcam, something that gives me a better quality than whatever the computer I have offers, because before it was a little bad. Then I try to do it with my cell phone, and you know, the memory capacity would cut the video right in half, and it was a mess. So anyways, I got a hold of a new webcam, and I'm reviving the YouTube channel. So, you know, share this with friends and family and everybody, and subscribe. So from now on, every podcast will be both audio and video. Okay. So as an introduction, happy new year again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating, whether it is sharing or listening. So far, I have a number here is over 1,000 plays in general for the whole podcast, 1,000 episode plays. So that's a lot since I started. So I'll encourage you to keep participating, keep listening. That means that whatever it is that I'm saying, it's making sense to someone. And if it's not, then someone is listening just to make fun of me. Still, people is listening. But yeah, I mean, keep listening, share this with your friends and family. Now you will have the podcast in audio and video, and you can make comments in the comment box below, and we can sort of like have conversations. There's a few things new for this, for the podcast, this year, different format, I think. Well, before I go there, I wanted to say that I'm still on audio. I'm using anchor.fm. I like that program to record my audio and all that. And the program anchor.fm, there's an app for it. And you can listen to other podcasts and whatnot. By the way, this is not paid advertisement. I'm just promoting it because I like it. But there is a feature that when you go to my podcast or any other podcast, you can send voicemail.
Now you can send a voice, you hit voicemail, and you will send, you can send me a voicemail of, I, you know, who you are, where you're from, what do you like about my podcast? What do you do for a living and whatnot, or things that you would like me to talk in the podcast, etc. So that's something that you can do, and I encourage you to do. Also, if you, I mean, I'm every, almost everywhere, as far as audio podcast regards. So if you are on Apple Podcast, please leave me a review there. That'll help a lot with growing the podcast and reaching more people. So I would appreciate a nice and good review in Apple Podcast. You can also contact me. I'll put all my information in the description below here in the video, or in the description below in the audio anyways. Okay. But you can contact me in different ways and, you know, let me know about what you think of the podcast, or who are you, or, you know, I've been mentioning that if you're a professional, a psychologist, anthropologist, biologist, whatnot, that works in the areas of education and health and fitness and sports and whatnot, then I would like to have a conversation with you. So just let me know, and you can, through that message or through my email, then you can just let me know. Again, at the end, or I will mention this and mention my contact information, and I'll put that anyways at the end in the description of the podcast, audio or video. Anyways, so I encourage you to participate. Share this with your friends and family. Before I forget, I need to say that. If you like this podcast, you can also support me. I have through anchor.fm, there is a donation button that you can press, and you have different options. You have 99 cents a month, like a dollar a month, or you can, I think it's $4.99 a month, or $10.99 a month, okay? And donations will serve for me accessing research and you know, better podcasting tools and whatnot, but most importantly for research that I'm looking for the podcast and for the book that I'm writing, okay? And I, which is the reason why I started the podcast. I started writing a book about health and fitness and physical education and how we engage in these practices. What is going on that there is, you know, trying to find out what's going on with the with health issues and injury and whatnot, and trying to find out what are the best practices or the recommended practices by different people in different cultures and whatnot, so that I can share that with my readers and with listeners, with you here in the podcast. So if you value that information and you would like to help, then again, go to anchor.fm. I will put the information there and the link below. And you can donate, again, either $1 or $5 or $10 a month or something like that. And I will be also opening a PayPal. So you can do it. You know, whichever way you feel. If you don't like the format of doing something in a monthly way, although you can just do it, you know, for how long, however long you want, and then from there, you know, unsubscribe from there. Hit the subscribe button here in YouTube, or in YouTube if you are watching this video. So whenever I post a new video, then you will be you will have a notification about it. I wanted to revive the video, the YouTube channel, not necessarily for the podcast, but also for only for the podcast, but also for sharing other either information or exercise videos and things like that you could use for yourself. I am planning a 30-day movement challenge that will be posting through here, and well, I needed a good quality video, so the camera is helping. Oh, anyways, so as I said, I have a few notes up here, so you'll see me reading a little bit. So reviving the YouTube channel. So again, subscribe, share this with your friends and family, make comments in the box below. This year, I will be finishing this series of a series that I started last year of the history of health, fitness, and physical education throughout the ages. Last episode, I remember the exact date, but last episode was about Rome. And then we were entering the Dark Ages and the Renaissance and the Enlightenment era. And then from there, I wanted to explore different cultures and their history of health, fitness, physical education, nutrition, and all that. Latin America, Asia, Africa, Europe, and so on. So I'll be working on that. So that's one of the things that I wanted to mention, because those episodes have had pretty good listening. So that means people is interested in those things. As a parenthesis, I'm always saying that I'm open to be corrected in things. I am doing research for these things, and I'm sharing what I think is what's happened. And when it comes to the history and whatnot, or when it comes to psychology and theories, but I am not a historian. I am not a psychologist. I am not an anthropologist. So if in any of these episodes I have said something or mentioned something that is not necessarily correct, I am open to be corrected. If you are, let's say, an anthropologist that likes or listens to my podcast, then hey, in fact, let's have a conversation. You know, let's clarify things. And that's another thing that I wanted to mention. I have contacted a few people that have agreed to have conversations in the podcast. And this year will be a lot of interviews. You know, as many as possible. But people have been interested to talk. And starting next week, we'll have a conversation with a running coach, good friend of mine, also a running coach, and we'll be talking about running, the health benefits and whatnot, and motivation, and how she helps her runners, you know, keep motivated and active. It's just very interesting in how she has become, you know, who she is right now. That will serve as an example to you and I think everybody else. Okay. So it's that. I will start posting twice a month instead of four times a month that I had last time, or every week. I would post twice a month. There is a reason for that. Although I don't feel like I need to necessarily have to explain it. But one is that for the information that I am sharing here, I've mentioned in my previous podcast last year and in my previous episode last year that I wanted to share much more facts and data, like research papers and peer-reviewed papers and books and things like that. And of course, that will take some time for me to sort of read, process, you know, make notes and whatnot, and be able to translate it in my language to share it with you. And if I keep the format of every week, then it'll be hard because, well, I'm a personal trainer and I have my clients and I have to keep moving and growing my business. Another reason that I am posting now twice a month is that I'm, you know, trying to grow my business, getting a little more clients, reaching out more people. I'm also studying for another certification and whatnot. So that takes time. And that way I can organize better. And it'll give me time to, you know, reach out more people for interviews and whatnot. So anyways, twice a month from now on, instead of every week. Okay. So anyways, you know, keep listening and keep participating as I've been encouraging you. Okay. So today's episode is about congruence. I wanted to talk about congruence. Congruence, or the state of harmony between ideals and reality. And that's something that I think psychologist Carl Rogers mentioned a lot in his writings or in his psychological philosophies or theories or treatments. He used to say that things need to be aligned, like goals and ideals and actions needed to be aligned. And it makes a lot of sense to me. And this is a topic or a concept that I mentioned in my previous episode, and it is an audio in anchor.com. But it caught my attention, and I wanted to just talk a little more about it. And I would say that I couldn't find a better moment to talk about congruence, right? Since we're starting a new year and everybody's sort of like planning and organizing and creating resolutions and goals and all of this, I think perhaps this is a very appropriate topic to talk about and to sort of like explore and mention to you so that you can use it as you develop your goals and resolutions and whatnot, or that you can share with people who you think, right, that might need it. That's the idea, you know, to spread and share information. And I wanted to start, this is something I started and I have it written here on my cell phone. I wanted to start with sort of like a reflection slash, as deGrasse Tyson would say, like a cosmic perspective. Although this is not a reflection, this is just I was looking at an interview, very old interview with Carl Jung, the psychologist Carl Jung, and he said a few things that I had to note them and I wanted to share them with you, right? So I'm going to start with that, and then we'll just go to whatever it is I'm going to talk about, congruence, right? So he said in this interview that people's dreams are full of apprehensions and fears, and that nobody knows exactly where to point, right? But he says that one thing is sure, and that is that it is a great change of our psychological attitude imminent. Like, we need to change our psychological attitude because we need more understanding of human nature, he said in that interview. And he says that because the real danger that exists is man itself. He says that the real danger that man itself or human itself themselves are the real danger, and that we are pitifully unaware of it. We know nothing of man, far too little. His psyche should be studied because we are the origin of all coming evil. That's what he said, right? And it struck me a little bit, because although there is very good in us and a lot of good in us, there is still things that are not necessarily, like Rogers used to say, congruent with our nature, right? We're creating ideals and practices and things like that that somehow make us think that we have transcended our, you know, human biological needs. And it's not necessarily like that. And perhaps that's why there's such more, so much disorder and issues, health issues in general, mental health, physical health, public health, and whatnot. Okay. He said that in that interview that if we think along the lines of nature, then we're thinking properly. And that was Carl Gustav Jung talking about this. No, and in this interview, they talk about a lot of things. I just took note of a few things that we need to, that I think I are of, that you can take advantage, and we all can take advantage of, not usually as a teaching. And then another thing he said is that man cannot stand a meaningless life. And he mentioned that when they were talking about automation, right? About how we are looking to automate everything. And it is a pure reality, right? We are trying to automate education and just get things right away without the natural process of development. We're trying to automate our health and not taking full responsibility, like individual responsibility of it. Communication, we're trying to automate everything. So, and he said that, well, this is meaningless because it does not go according to human nature. So this is what he mentioned. And I found it very interesting. I hope that it'll sort of give you a different perspective of how you are seeing at life, or not necessarily give you a different one. You don't necessarily have to change, but perhaps either that or support and give you some sort of like support anyways on how you see things. Okay. So, and this has to do a lot with what I'm talking about today. Okay. So congruence, I'll be reading a couple of notes here to share with you. So congruence is defined by the dictionary, dictionary.com defines congruence as the quality or state of agreeing or corresponding. Okay. And different synonyms with congruence will be compatibility, consistency, harmony, match, balance, consonance, rapport, parallelism, congruity, unison, unity, concert, unanimity, consensus, basically things aligning together in harmony. Okay. And I would say it is something that we need to work with. And it's very important. It's specifically, again, since we are at the beginning of the year and creating resolutions or trying to follow resolutions that we've already created and whatnot, we need to focus on the fact that these resolutions have to be aligned with our reality, okay? Reality as individual, as humans, as so that we can just sort of create or find congruence and harmony in that path. And I'll later explain a little theory that I have. And if it already exists, then I'm just, it's awesome anyways. So anyways, and in psychology, according to Carl Rogers, then congruence is when a person's ideal self is aligned with their reality and experiences, right? So an ideal self, meaning how do you see yourself in the future? Not necessarily how do you see yourself in the future. Ideal self is that person that you see yourself becoming, or that person who you want to be in the future. So that's the ideal self. And from there, you know, that will sort of like lead the path to create congruence, I think, right? Or whatever it is that you do to accomplish that ideal self, then it needs to be congruent. It needs to be in harmony and aligned with that ideal self. You know, this is a crazy example, right? But you don't, if you live in Texas and you want to go to Portland, Oregon, you don't go to New York City and then from New York City to Portland, Oregon, right? You go straight to that. If it makes sense that way, right? If you're driving even more, holy shit, that will be quite a drive. Unless you are in for a road trip and you have plan, and that will be more congruent. But if not, you know, you don't drive to New York City and then from there to Oregon. It is closer from Texas to Oregon. So it's just something that makes more sense and that sort of like adapts to your reality. However, I understand that to be congruent or in harmony with our individual reality and our experiences and not with the dreams of being like someone else. I got a little lost here. So anyways, that's the thing. We need to find, even creating an ideal self have to be congruent with our reality. You know, yes, we can dream. Yes, we can have aspirations. Yes, we can say, okay, I want to, next year, I want to be able to travel more or have this body or, you know, have this new job or grow my business and whatnot. But understanding that it is our individual path to be able to get there. It is not, we cannot be someone else. And that's something I was reading an article about Carl Rogers was talking about that, how the issue with people wanting to be like somebody else, that itself will create then incongruency, right? Or incongruence, and it'll create a set of disorders that will be toxic, I'm sorry, for ourselves. So it has to be we have to understand that our ideal self, is us, and is me who wants to, who needs to work towards that. Okay, so, and if not, then there's incongruence. So here is my little theory. Here's where I theorize that our own subconscious and our own biological system have we've come with certain information when we were born, that it was there, and that's what made us, for example, helped us start moving and explore and learning how to grab things and standing up and walking and exploring the world and finding foods and whatnot. And that's, to my understanding, is sort of like the real biological need, right? So my theory is that our reality, our biology and our subconscious, when we are not aligned with our reality as individuals and as an organism, then something happens. It'll backfire somehow. Subconsciously, we will start sabotaging ourselves. And please, if you're a psychologist, and if this is a real thing, I don't know, I haven't read about it, but this is just me theorizing, then let me know. And that would be freaking awesome, right? And then again, let's have a conversation and you can educate me and everybody else about it. And this is my example, right? For almost 20 years that I've been working as a physical educator and personal trainer and health coach and all this, athletic trainer, you see that we're creating much more, like, for example, sedentary jobs, right? Most of it is sitting down, and that creates stresses and creates like physical pains and postural issues and structural body structure damage that we will start, that'll start sort of like packing up and lead to injury and lead to bad health. We are creating, when it comes to jobs, for example, now that I'm mentioning that, we're creating, for example, uniforms that are not necessarily, I wouldn't say ergonomic. I would say that they're not designed for our bodies per se. And here's an example. I met last week, and I met a police officer. We're super cool, and he was explaining, I was explaining my philosophy of physical education and health and fitness and whatnot. And he was talking, mentioning that he is having issues with his uniform. They give him a vest, right? And the vest sort of pulls him down this way. And after a few months, wearing that vest every day, all of the hours that he works, and not just him, but also his partners, started feeling shoulder pain, neck pain, back pain, and whatnot, and also sort of like movement restriction. He felt like he was rolling forward, like concaving. So he went to someone, massage therapist, and someone to stretch him and whatnot. And that's where he realized that it was the vest that was just pulling him and damaging his body. So we create all of these ideological things, work positions, we create exercise programs, and we create diets, that brings us more stress that are not aligned with our biological needs. Diets, for example, most diets tend to be very restrictive, very stressful. And then what people do is end up more stressed, and they quit the diet, and they feel like a failure, and they end up more depressed. And if they were looking to lose weight with that diet, then most of the time they end up gaining more weight. Plus having, psychological issues and health issues sometimes, like high blood pressure and whatnot, and also social issues. Because if they are in this certain diet that they cannot eat certain foods, and their friends or family eat that food, and there is there's a clash in those ideals there. Also, we create, as I mentioned, exercise programs like this, super intense exercise programs that focus on specific athletic movements that are not necessarily designed for just the regular person who wants to be healthy and live on and exercise and whatnot. I would say they don't focus on fundamental movement patterns, right? Which is something, in my opinion, that everybody should follow. Fundamental movement patterns are key for the practice of them, and the improvement of them will lead us to better movement, less physical pain, more fluidity and mobility, and more practicality and functionality in daily living, right? And athletic training, you know, sports training then could be a good complement. I'm not saying that sports training is bad or athletic training is bad, although we have to watch out, right? Because we are so focused on the visual, and we see athletes, for example, with these great bodies, and we're not seeing their injuries, but the training they endure sometimes is so hardcore that they get injured. And we need to focus on, or we need to be aware of that, right? I think that these type of training, athletic and sports training, do provide a supportive role as far as movement regards in everybody, right? And of course, you apply it at different progressions. You don't give it if there's a new person, a person that have never exercised, then of course we don't start with the hardcore type of training. We go progressively. And they do work, and again, they provide support for the non-athlete, but the focus on the non-athlete should be fundamental patterns or fundamental movements versus these kind of things. But unfortunately, we see and I've seen, having worked in the fitness industry, in the equipment industry too, and having helped people in the past open gyms and whatnot, the predominance of athletic type of training programs taking over the industry in a crazy way. It's like a big wave that is it's growing. And it's being seen as the normal approach to exercise. And, you know, that's why we see, for example, fitness studios or boot camps or whatnot, you know, having people, elders, you know, doing this crazy exercise, powerlifting, CrossFit type of exercise, explosive exercise, without helping them or re-educating them first in the fundamental patterns, because we lose these things as we grow. Because as a culture, we think that, well, hey, because I know how to walk, I can sit in a chair and I can just go upstairs, then I don't need to work on these things anymore. And it's gone to the point that if you don't, just like used to happen a few years ago with the traditional weightlifting exercise, like if you don't do that, then you're not on, that you're not doing it right. And I know this person who is she's a nurse for a lady that I coach, that I help with physical education and rehabilitation and whatnot. And this nurse, then she went to this sort of boot camp training at a park, and the trainer was his philosophy is of like football type of training, right? And everybody had to do that. So, anyways, I mean, she is she's a little bit overweight, and she's not literate in those type of movements, and she was feeling that she was getting injured and hurt, so she quit, right? Everyone has the right to quit those things. So anyways, the guy, she mentions that the guy goes and social media and shamed her, right? So that she's a quitter and blah, 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 and talk bad about her. And that's the type of mentality that we need to sort of change, okay? Like I'm going again, I mean, like I've just mentioned, right? And it happens like that. And if you're not doing this, then you're not right. You're doing it wrong and whatnot. And we're not letting people, we're making people feel like shit because they don't like the things we like. And when they don't fit within our box, then they're sort of like the enemy. And that's something really bad. So we need to change that. And sad. So one thing that I'm trying to help people understand is that we need to adjust practices to our life, right? Instead of the other way around. Again, in a way that we can find congruence with our reality. okay, with exercises or diet or education in general or anything. Like, hey, if I am an accountant who in tax season, I'm working 10, 12 hours a day, then I should understand that I don't have the time to go to the gym 1 hour or 2 hours. Yes, I understand that I need to move, but perhaps I can move for 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening here, 5 minutes when I get home there. And that way I still have moved versus, oh, I'm going to push myself and just literally go and deplete myself of energy at the gym. Or I am going out of my way and drive one more hour to get to the gym. Perhaps there's ways that we can find to exercise and to move and to eat healthy that we can adapt within our lifestyle versus the other way around. You know, I don't know if you follow, but again, one more time, if the beginning of a year, right? The beginning of a year is about resolutions, right? Well, it's not about resolutions. It shouldn't be about resolutions. It should be about just living. It's just another year. It's just another day. And if you are doing something good, then you shouldn't change it, right? Because you need to have a resolution. And if you're doing something wrong, then that needs to be changed progressively and throughout time or through time versus, well, every year doing something different and different. At the beginning of a year, everybody wants to go to the gym. Most people go to the gym at the beginning of a year, or they engage in a diet and whatnot. And what happens is that, and this is a real statistic, 90% of these people will end up quitting, right? End up quitting, end up frustrated. But here is how I see it, okay? If you weren't able to do anything the past year, to go to the gym or to do a diet or whatnot, what makes you think that because it is the beginning of a year, you will be able to do it? And it's not realistic, right? People go and they stretch their budget, hardcore stretching their budget, going to gyms and having trainers and diets and whatnot. I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but there is options out there, right? For example, if you don't have the money to go to the gym or to pay a gym membership or to pay a personal trainer, let's say, hey, there is online personal training. Contact me. This is an unpaid advertisement, promoting my own self here. So, or any other trainer, right? There is fitness apps, or there is things that you can do that you don't necessarily have to stretch your budget too much or go crazy with your schedule. Because you need to go to the gym, you know. Maybe you can exercise at home, okay? Or, you know, you don't need to start ignoring your family just because you need to exercise. And a lot of people do that. And what happens is that within the first month or the first 20 months or so, again, 90% of the people end up quitting because the resolutions are not congruent with their reality. People go to the gym. First, expectations, right? They don't have real expectations. Most people don't have real expectation. And at least most people that I've met, right? Everyone wants to lose 50 pounds in 30 days when they have gained 50 pounds in 5 years. If it took you 5 years to gain 50 pounds, then hey, I don't think in 30 days you're going to lose them. Because this is much more than you gaining 50 pounds, okay? And when we engage in this type of resolutions or in this type of actions that are not realistic and practical and that are not in congruence or aligned in harmony with the reality, then according to my theory, if it doesn't exist, the subconscious and the body will fight back. Will fight back with anxiety, will fight back with frustration, will fight back with stress, with depression, physical pain, general health issues, movement restriction, bad posture, I don't know, bad breathing patterns and all that. And these things will feed up on each other. So all of these issues will feed up on each other. And little by little, you will, so I think this is the way I see it, you know, you will fall in this tornado of incongruence, right? In a constant loop, that as time passes, and it will be very hard to come out. And so I guess, and I didn't intend to give any advice, right? I'm just sharing this information. But I guess if I were to give some advice, there is a few things, right? And mind yourself that even though I'm giving this advice, and I have found congruency in many, many things, like in my exercise programs or in my movement, I would say. I don't like to call it exercise too much because I don't have a structured program. I just, if I have 5 minutes in the morning while I walk my dog, then that's where I exercise. If I do it in the evening, then that's where I exercise. Or whatever time I have in between clients, I would come home or go to a park and exercise there. There's no structured place or structured hours or program or whatnot. So I found congruency. I find it very little stressful versus, oh, I have to exercise every morning at 5 a.m. So I have to just sleep a little less, or it has to be specifically at this gym or at this park or at this place. I found it that as humans, we are not meant to stay in the same place always. Same thing applies to exercise and movement. Perhaps you move today in the outdoors in your patio. Then you, if it rains, then you move into your living room or to your dining room or to your bedroom, or there is a park close by, or you just go for a jog instead of doing like the 30,000 crunches. And that's the way I do it. And although I have found congruency in that and even in eating, there's still incongruence, and I'm still prey of incongruence in many other areas of my life. So the reason I say this is that I don't want anybody else to feel like I'm, you know, this perfect life guru that have all the solutions, right? I'm human too, and everybody has issues. So anyways, but if I were to give advice, then these are the things that I would say. One, it takes time. It took me time, years, to get to this point in which I don't feel stressed because of exercise or dieting or eating or, you know, whatever else, or a few other things, right? It took time. It took a tremendous amount of effort, cognitive. I had to learn a lot. I read a lot. My first ever episode on this podcast, and you will see it on YouTube because it's on the YouTube, it's not on audio, was about reading, right? About the importance of reading and how it is the best thing, one of the best things or exercises you can do. I had to read a lot, and I had to learn about, you know, in my case, well, anatomy and posture and how to deal with back pain because I had back issues and whatnot. It took psychological effort. I had to really work with myself. It took conscious effort, right? Changing in mentalities and the way I saw things and the way I saw the world. Instead of being like one line of vision, I started to sort of like reaching in different areas and ways. And it took social support, right? It took my wife supporting me, my stepson, my daughter, even my dog. He's my running buddy, and we go out there and run, or you know, while he fetches, I'll do pull-ups in a tree branch and whatnot. But it's taken support. And as I said, I'm still prey of incongruence in many other aspects. Another advice will be, this is on you. You're alone. I mean, yes, it is important to have support, but it's on you and it's in every one of us. Even when you hire a trainer, you hire a nutritionist or a dietitian or a health or life coach or whatnot, even though us professionals or a professional gives you the information on how to do something, like the latest research and whatnot, it is your responsibility and it is my responsibility, all as individuals, to deal with our inner demons, right? To sit down with ourselves or sit down with yourself and see what the heck is holding you back. And this is something that I've mentioned a lot to clients or new prospects. I say, well, you know, they're calling me to lose weight and to, you know, get all shredded and whatnot and this magazine bodies. I said, well, you know, yes, we're going to start exercising and I'll give you very basic nutritional advice and whatnot, but this will take much more effort than you think, right? It'll take you thinking about what's holding you back. Why is it that you gain that much weight if that was the problem? Or why is it that you are so skinny if that's the problem? Or whatever problem, like if you have your back issues and you're calling me to help you to deal with your posture and eliminating pain and whatnot, it is not just me giving you an exercise or a stretch to help you. It is finding out what it is that's causing that. Bad posture, bad breathing patterns that were caused by other things. I don't know, maybe, you know, you assume the posture because that posture makes you feel comfortable because you had an issue when you were a young kid or a child and that was sort of like your comfort zone. These things have to be thought of. We need to be able to sit down and literally fight inner demons, sit down with ourselves and see what the heck is holding us back. And sort of like swimming in the darkest areas of our minds to see what the hell's going on. All right. And that's the hardest part. That is the true hardest part. Everyone is talking about the exercise and it's easy. No, the hardest part is not the exercise. The reality is that the human body will adapt to any exercise program we give them. Not necessarily adapt functionally. Let's keep that in mind. But when it comes to weight loss, which is technically an accident of exercising, a byproduct of this and eating better and whatnot, when it comes to that, you can lose weight by running. You can lose weight by swimming. You can lose weight by dancing every day. You can lose weight by just walking every day. You can just lose weight by being a little more active, however it is that you want to be active. Hey, can you be more active having sex every day with your partner? All right. And that will alter your metabolism and your blood flow and all of these changes that will happen in the body with physical activity. And with nutrition, the same thing. That's why I don't sort of like follow any diet, because it is just a matter of eating like normal humans are supposed to eat. Other than that, it doesn't really matter. So we adapt to these things. The real problem with weight loss or with gaining strength or with dealing with pain or posture issues is more psychological. What it is that is causing this? What happened? Why is it that you sit this way? Why is it that you somehow don't find a way to stop sitting that way? Why is it that you're eating this way or drinking this way or smoking this way? That is the real challenge. That is why people end up quitting 3 months or less, having been on a diet or a gym, because they don't want to understand or they don't know, because there's programs that are designed to catch their eyeballs, right? And they don't know these things. So that's why I'm sharing this. Another piece of advice is, this is a trial and error type of thing, as well as an explorative scientific process in which we try one thing and if it works, we keep it and we try to find and apply that to every single aspect of our lives, as much as we can, and sort of like squeeze the juice out of it. Or if it doesn't work, then we not necessarily ditch it, because we might use it later on. Or if it works in a short term, then we sort of see that as an experience versus as well, you know, I failed or whatnot. And we use it as again, experience as an edifying component. So even if something doesn't work, it is information that we're adding to our cognition, and that helps us create better consciousness and awareness of what's going on with ourselves and with the world, whatnot. I would say, again, find out what is holding you back. What is deep inside you and your subconscious that has gotten you where you are. And when that happens, you will have a better idea of what could be your ideal self or who could be your ideal self, right? And then from there, then in harmony with your current lifestyle, right, find practical, functional ways to, and realistic approaches to get there, exercising, eating, education, I guess money-wise, whatnot. I need to apply that to my finances. Instead of just taking every single thing that we see as the absolute truth and then frustrating ourselves because we weren't able to finish it and then just falling on that loop again and again and again. And one of the important things is do not expect overnight changes or adaptations. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, if you gained 50 pounds in the last year, don't expect in 30 days, not even in 6 months, to lose them. And in fact, this is me being realistic, down to earth. The more beautiful and shiny and the more promises that any diet or any exercise program makes, run from it. Like, get away from it, all right? The more shiny it looks, how is it? Not everything that shines is gold. And with these things, again, I'm telling you, not me, 20 years of experience in this, are telling you the shinier it looks, the more promises, the more come and, you know, I guarantee this, run from it. I'm not saying that it may not happen, but it is very likely, it is more likely that they will end up, you know, taking your money and you will end up being frustrated and not finishing it because it's fucking hard to accomplish these things. I have a friend of mine who I may have here in the podcast. He posted something on his Facebook today about that. He's a bodybuilder. And I mean, he is built and whatnot. But he posted about, you know, telling people, understand that you have to bust your balls and your asses to be able to get this here. That is not a magical thing that you will not get here. This 30, you know, 3 month guarantee transformation programs are not realistic. So they're not congruent with ourselves. And that's from a bodybuilder. Okay, I'm just a regular physical education teacher. I focus a lot more on helping people moving better. I am into more rehabilitation and correcting and education. So I'm working on posture. I'm working on post-rehabilitation programs and whatnot. But this is coming from a bodybuilder who is extremely shredded, big, and, you know, in the eyes of people who are looking for aesthetics and whatnot, the guy looks freaking awesome. And he himself is saying, this is not easy. Getting here is not easy. It is a very hard path. And you have to be aware of that. We cannot expect magical changes because it's the beginning of the year. Okay? So anyways, you know, trial and error, scientific method, type of process, right? So we sort of like try one thing or we have an idea, create a question, research about it. Come to a conclusion. It works. Good. Let's apply it. If it doesn't work, let's just keep going through that scientific process. I like the idea of scientific process for health, fitness, and physical education and anything anyways. Another important thing is to understand that these changes and the ideal self that we want to be need to be aligned as much as possible with our biological and natural ways. And here is why I've mentioned a few times here in the podcast that I am anti-diet and anti-traditional fitness type of exercises. And the fitness type of exercises is because the body is used to be free. Like we have scapula and all of these, not the scapula, but all of these connections in the body that allow us to move in such a free way that in order that for us to sit down in a piece of machine, I'm sorry, and just move linearly like this or like this or like that is not congruent with how the human body moves. It's not biomechanically correct, I would say. Well, I mean, we can move that way, but we're not built for that. We're built to move our body in connection, all right? Isolation technically is impossible. We cannot necessarily isolate one aspect. And, you know, to exercise, you know, the rectus abdominis 1,000 times will not make it stronger, will not burn fat specifically there. In fact, it'll create a disorder, back pain and imbalance in the structure. So again, yeah, I'm sort of like against that. And I think that, you know, well, basically that, you know, I think I'm done. I went over my nose and whatnot. But again, yeah, I mean, one more time, things have to be congruent. We need to be aligned. And that's what congruence means, right? And it does apply very nice to health and education and physical education and fitness and whatnot. Let's find ways, realistic approaches that we can adapt to our daily living, to our realities, to our individual realities. I've had clients who call me and say, I'm going to do whatever you want. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, they tell me, because I want to lose X amount of weight. And when I say, well, you know, are you sure? Oh, yeah, my schedule is free. I can do whatever you tell me to do. Okay. And when I start prescribing exercises and you know, giving this nutritional advice and whatnot, they're like, oh, this is too much. This is hard. I can't do it. And a couple of months, they're like, hey, I can't pay you anymore. You know, it's a lot of money. Hey, I have this online program, I tell them. Yeah, well, you know, it's not realistic. I mean, it's much more realistic because you can then do it whenever you want, literally wherever you want. So that is congruent with your reality. So we'll find those. So that's my advice anyways, find ways to be congruent and realistic. And I hope this somehow serves you, or, you know, you can serve anyone you feel that you can share it with. That it will be of great use. All right. So that's it for today's first episode of a year. This was much more of a like an introduction to the new year and the things that I'm going to do. So reminder again, every 2 weeks I'll be posting new episodes instead of every week. I'm reviving the YouTube channel, so hit subscribe, hit share, and make comments in the box below. Subscribe to my podcast in every other platform, Apple Podcasts. If you're an Apple Podcast, leave me a review. Share my podcast in audio with your friends and family and social media. And if you're using anchor.fm, find the feature of messaging and send me a voice message about yourself and who you are, where you're from, you know, what things you like. If you like sports, what do you like? How do you practice it? You know, let's just talk about it. Again, if you are a professional, psychologist, anthropologist, health coach, physical therapist, educator, biologist, and you work in the areas of education and health and fitness and whatnot, contact me and let me know. If not, I'll just keep contacting people. But if you already hear this, just let me know and I would like to have a conversation. I mean, I'm very open-minded, and although what sometimes I say here may sound like bullshit, it may not be, or it may be. And if you feel like I'm not correct in some things, then hey, educate me and let's educate others too. I will put my email in the information below, in the description below. You can contact me there too. You can send me any audio if you want to there, like a voice message if you want to. And it's quantum.fithealth@gmail.com. Another thing is that I will be, my website was down for a while, and I'm bringing it up again soon. And there will be a section there for me to share the references that I use for this podcast. So if I am sharing something about a peer review paper or research or whatnot, then you can find it there so that you yourself can also, you know, sit and read and go through it and not just necessarily take my word on anything. You go through your own experience. So all will be there, and I'll talk to you next week. Then we'll have the conversation with the running coach, and then from there, no episode the next week, and the next following week, yes, and so on. All right. So happy new year, everybody. Thank you for listening. And that's it. See you later.